Hello and welcome to DevPulse, expanding the stack. We'd like to thank our sponsor, OmniSyn. They've been supporting developers with tools that are easy to integrate and built to scale, something I know that you appreciate when you're deep in the stack. Whether you're building for clients, products, or just experimenting, it's always great to have platforms that get how devs work. Thanks to OmniSyn for backing the dev community and this episode. Check them out at omnisyn.com.
Hey there, and welcome to another episode of DevPulse Expanding the Stack. I am here, as always, joined by Carl Board and Carl Board's owner, Carl.
Or is it, you know, am I owned by Carl Board?
I don't know anymore. I mean, it is possible that you are owned by Carl Board.
I mean, he was definitely more popular than me. So that, if we base it on just on popularity alone, I think we know who owns who, you know, so.
Well, and, you know, we've been joined today by Mendel Kurland, who is joining us to talk today about his newest endeavors and previous endeavors. And, well, we're just going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff and let ADHD flow where it may. As usual on this
podcast. Yay, ADHD.
So, Mendel, how are you doing today?
Wow. I'm not sure I'm ready for this, but I'm doing great.
You're bored for this, Mendel. You got it.
It's amazing to see both, including Carl Board, who I think at this point should probably be animated in some way, you, but...
Don't give me ideas.
I mean, we don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but I'm just saying, like, implant or, like, contacts that... flash red at a random time. I mean, that would be
interesting. Yeah, it'd be great.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah, I would enjoy that. So, Carl, what have you been up to lately from before we get too far into
the Okay, oh my goodness. I just came back from Rio. I was there for a wedding. It was surreal. And it was my first time in Brazil. It was really great. I would have not believed... I don't know about how you feel about beef, but I... not the biggest beef person, but I will tell you that the beef there tastes better than anywhere else I've been. Like, I was just like, I've never eaten more beef in a long time. But outside of that, the wedding was amazing. It was like in the mountains. I don't know. They had a budget. I'll leave it at that. And also, I looked the most dapper I've ever looked. Like, I rented a suit. It was purple. It was great. I loved it.
Nice.
Was this a tux, or was this like, did you have the full tails going on behind you, or
no full tails? I look kind of like an MC, like it was like purple, black trim. I had a black bow tie, but it looked very stylish. It definitely, I'm very happy with it. It was a rental, but I almost bought it, but I was like, I'm never gonna wear this again. Why am I buying it? You know, it's like,
were you channeling your inner 90s ska kid?
Oh my God. If we're going to go on a tangent, like my partner's daughter was with us. Like, she lives in Australia and she's 15. They listen to the same music that really? I did in high school. It's all hilarious. Like Weezer, The Killers, like just, I'm like, let me play my favorites from Spotify. And I'm like, am I back in my college dorm here? Like, it was so weird.
Do you think it's regional? Do you think like, you go to like North America and it's just like, I don't know, K-pop and stuff like that?
I'm not 100% sure, honestly. I think it's because I read something recently where they think like US culture is stagnated and like basically like music and stuff, there's not as much good stuff coming out. And I think young people just want to listen to the old stuff. Like same with the movies and TV shows, like Back to the Future is huge. Like, I think of like Raquel's kids had like Back to the Future. Like, I think her daughter had a Back to the Future poster in her room. Like, she loves Marty McFly. Her daughter, partner's daughter, also loves Marty McFly. Like, it's just like so weird, you know?
Who doesn't love Marty McFly? And speaking of Back to the Future, if we were to talk about the history that Mendel has with and me and specifically, you know, when we had Mendel as a co-host here on Do the Woo back in the early days, right? I believe your first show was January 30th of 2020, and you had a really strange guest that day. I believe it was me.
Yeah.
So we've kind of come full circle here, right?
Yeah, that's pretty wild to think about. Man, I'm trying to think about what my life was like January 30th, 2020. Seems like it was in a mess of times, but I'm sure that Do the Woo helped me experience life with a little more excitement and gusto in that moment of my life. But that's wild to think about. What, 5 years ago, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and then shortly after that, I started working with Bob as a co-host, and now we started moving into some of the online, like, live events we were doing and all of that fun stuff we experimented with back then. You know, and it's,
do you know how many shows you've done, Zach?
I don't off the top of my head. I know we've got to be close to 50 at least by now, but I don't know. That's a good question, Bob. You've got the statistics in the background there. I'm sure you can look that up pretty quickly. It would be funny if it was 68, given an upcoming milestone for Bob. Did I just say that out loud?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, happy birthday, Bob.
Hey, happy birthday, Bob. So, Bob, we were asking how many episodes I've done now. Kind of an interesting question that Mendel posed.
You know what's even more interesting? Well, no, it may not be more interesting, but in January 2020, widespread adoption of Gen AI had not yet taken place.
Yes.
And now Bob could probably just ask ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini, whatever, right? Like, how many shows? And could probably like summarize the vibe of all of those shows for you, like what you talked about most, maybe even like the word that you use the most.
Oh, it was probably performance, I would imagine, or the phrase custom database tables, given how
much, high performance order tables,
how high performance order tables, or even before that. Or the other possibility is, why aren't people using the CRUD classes they added to WooCommerce in 2017? I think that's been a topic I've talked about numerous times. Yeah, but it's fun looking back at things like that. And, you know, just looking back a little further even than, you know, January of 2020, you have had a storied career in the web industry. I heard many of those fun stories while we were at PressConf together. You know, just do you want to share a little bit about what your background has been and where you're headed now?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So a lot of people know me as the guy that kind of brought GoDaddy to the WordPress community and built out that developer advocacy program, kind of reintroduced GoDaddy in a new way. But before that, very relevant to where I'm at today, it doesn't sound like it at first, but when I first went to college, I got kicked out of college. I got I think it was like a 0.52 GPA. It was really epically terrible. And the reason I got kicked out of college is because I was creating a startup.
Can you give us some context for like the non-Americans that don't use GPAs? Like how bad is it?
How bad? Failing most classes except maybe like an elective that I got a C in.
Yeah, so I mean, if a 4.0 is doing perfect, you know, and higher than 4 is possible if you're doing better than perfect, less than less than a percent or less than a 1.0.
Yeah.
Less than a 1.0 is pretty miserably down there in the, you know, college just isn't, you're not in the right program or something's wrong or you're just.
No, that's way worse than being in the wrong program. That's like being in the wrong life. It's like you're just not registering. You barely have a heartbeat as far as education is concerned.
It's like the TVs. It's like, son, what are you doing here? Like,
that's right. Yeah. Which, by the way, my father was an elementary school principal with a doctorate in education. So he tried to, you know, be chill about it. But, you know, inside I knew he was crumbling.
He is dying inside.
That's right. But so I created this startup, right? And the startup was called UI Life. And UI Life was this like student guide to the University of Iowa. Basically, it was like the beginnings of Facebook, right? We had social networking, party alerts and stuff like that. Forums, movie listings. And I, for a number of reasons, it was super successful. And then I sold some rights to it and then it failed. And anyway, from that, I'd made all these relationships with all these local businesses and I started building websites for them. And that was kind of how I paid my rent, right? And I was doing that. And then in the summers, I was going to a summer camp and I was a camp counselor for kids and young adults with special needs. So I was basically camping in the summer, right? And then one year it was even crazier because I had a couple of cats and I thought I would just camp out of my car and instead of actually having an apartment and also sling websites. And so I'm like,
that's like before Starlink, just like for the Gen Zs, for the crazy Gen Zs, like this is pre-Starlink.
100%. Yeah, there was no internet, right? So what I had to do, well, I mean, there was internet, but it wasn't, you know, readily accessible from a laptop. So what I had to do is I had to get a really cheap hotel room, like the night before a client meeting, take a shower, iron my clothes, and I had a printer with me. I'd bring the printer in. And I'd like print all it because back then it was like paper stuff, right? So you're like, here's my menu of services, all this stuff. So I'd print it out and then I would take that to my client meeting. And it was wild, but this was like the start of my entrepreneurial journey, right? Is failing out of college, you know, slinging websites out of a car, which by the way had like a broken back window in it that wouldn't roll up. And the cats were like in this kennel and then I'd like bring them with me wherever I went because I didn't want them to get hot or whatever. And so like the police came to my door one night. It was a crazy thing, right? Crazy experience. And, but I became pretty successful at slinging websites and I learned a lot about resilience during those years and hustle and grit and determination. I wanted to flash back to that early moment in my career. By the way, I ended up graduating college like 15 years later. GoDaddy actually paid for a bunch of it. I graduated summa cum laude from, which for other folks, you know, this is like at the top of my class in MIS. So I ended up getting the degree and moving on mostly because of my guilt, right, for not graduating. But
your dad proud, you know?
That's right,
like,
yeah.
Dad, like, Dad, I got summa cum laude. Like, you know, like I'm not... You know, I'm good at school.
I went back and I did the thing.
And yeah, he was like, every year after that, he was like, was it worth it? Right. Cause he saw me gradually like moving on in my career. Right. Like I was a GoDaddy for 10 years at Amazon for a little bit, Nexus for a little bit. And progressively, like my career was, you know, has been moving up. And so every year he would say, was it worth getting the degree? And at first I was like, eh, whatever. And then, but like, as I progressed, I was like, maybe it was worth it. But so I wanted to stash that there. We'll come back to it later, I'm sure. But I want to stash
keep it there, story. Audience. Keep it there. Remember.
There's some stuff we can call back to as we go further into your journey, for sure. So when you and I first met, it was through a mutual friend. I believe it was Kareem that introduced us. And
good guy, that Kareem.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've met a lot of people because of knowing him. And I think you'd probably say the same thing, right?
Yeah.
He's definitely one of those connectors in our space. And it's been an interesting journey watching what you've done throughout that time. So you were working at GoDaddy, I think, when I first met you. And then you spent that time at Amazon. We reconnected when you were at Nexus. Then had a camp that you ran for a whole bunch of us geeks that...
Yeah, it was Geek Adventures, I think.
Yes, Geek Adventures.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties back into your camp counselor days, right? And then, you know, now you've gone off after a stint with some large cloud providers to do your own thing, roll your own company again. And kind of curious what brought you to that point in your journey and what you are working on now.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, we did meet in the GoDaddy days. And then, you know, entrepreneurship has always kind of been part of my life and kind of where things started, right? As I was just mentioning. And so after, you know, I was at GoDaddy for 10 years. So I left and I kind of wanted to clear my head and figure out, you know, what's next. And so I started Geek Adventures and was doing, built out of camping rentals and outdoor adventure business for geeks, which was great. Some of the folks listening probably went to Iceland with me and other journeys. And which, by the way, I won't say too much, but it's possible that Iceland is coming back, but not in the way it was before. Anyway, just a little teaser. But then after that, I started a family and I thought, you know, maybe I should go back to corporate America and see what there is. And so I was hired at a small startup in Santa Monica as a senior product manager. and did some integrations work with a new website builder that they needed to have integrated with their content management system and backend systems. And then I moved on to Amazon as a senior product manager there, and eventually to DigitalOcean for a couple of years, leading the AI ML product line there, nice. which was a lot of fun. Big job, right? Because of, you know, where we all know the world is going as far as AI. And then I kind of started to see crazy stuff in my LinkedIn feed, and crazy stuff was happening all around me. Things were exploding all around me in all these companies that I was at for the past like 4 or 5 years. And I started to see a lot of restructuring. I started to see a lot of people losing their jobs, repurposing their jobs, reinventing themselves. And what I noticed on LinkedIn is that the folks that reinventing themselves and not trying the same things that have been successful for them in the past were succeeding. And the people that weren't doing that were having a rougher time in their careers. And so, you know, about one of my deeper loves, which is the WordPress community and open source and all of that. And I also thought about, you know, where my skill set is in these years and years, you know, 10 plus years of product and program management, where my expertise is. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll build a consultancy, right? Because the truth is right now what people need, going back to that original story, you know, the cats in the Jeep Grand Cherokee rolling around making websites, is people unfortunately need resilience right now. They need hustle and they need to reinvent themselves, in my opinion, right? Some people may disagree with me, but I took those principles to heart and decided that that's what I would do with my career and with what I'm doing. And so I thought I would bring those skills to bear on the WordPress community and help to push this industry forward in a small way that I might be able to affect.
That's quite the story. I love it. I love crazy journeys like that. Like, I think it's always inspiring. I mean, for me, that's like, I love meeting people that have like a kind of unusual path through things. I've had a very unusual path myself. So it's just like really always heartening to meet a couple of people once in a while that are just like, yeah, this doesn't fit for me, but I'm always questioning, you know, like you're introspective, like we can feel it, right? Like you're questioning, why am I doing something? You're not just like on the tracks and then you're like, okay, like I'm just going to stay on the rails. Like you're like questioning why you're on the rails in the first place and whether you should like just get jump off the, you know, do a barrel roll out of the car, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all in this thing called life, right? And and a lot of the times, I don't know if you've had this experience, but you're going through life and you're just doing the day-to-day stuff. And maybe you're trying to market your business, or maybe you're trying to build your product, or maybe you're just trying to, you know, get your kids to school or something like that. And so every morning, it's the same thing. Every afternoon, it's the same thing. And you find yourself in a rut, right? And your growth is stalled. Your delivery isn't creative anymore. You're frustrated because every day seems like the same thing. And I think in those moments, it's always good to try and like do something that takes you out of that experience. Really introspect, like you said, right? Like look like you are somebody else looking at your own life, and do it on a trail, or do it at a new coffee shop or a new venue when you're working, or do it in a different industry, or imagine what your life would be like if you took your same skills and you applied them somewhere else, or you took a different route to drop your kids off. You know, those things that take us out of those experiences.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Go ahead, Zach.
It's interesting. You know, I had an interesting road to where I am too, right? I started out as a Cold Fusion developer. I was a Flash and Flex developer because, you know, those technologies made sense because they could talk directly to Cold Fusion. And this was back before JavaScript was, you know, functional beyond making a few things do rollovers and, you know, yeah.
Back the rollover days. That's all I used JavaScript for back in the day, right?
Back in the day when, you know, jQuery was about it, and there was some show and hide and highlight and that kind of stuff. Yeah, so I definitely have had a similar background in that I started out, you know, in one area. I've had to move multiple times to fit where the market has shifted. And then I took a year off when Flash died because, you know, I had contracts that were canceled. I had a whole bunch of people that, because of the uncertainty around whether or not projects should continue, just they canceled contracts. And it was the right thing to do, but the industry basically disappeared in the space of a week. So I took a year off, and I worked in the funniest place you could possibly work as somebody who had been a Flash engineer. I worked for Apple for a year. So the company that many attribute to the death of the industry that I had been in. So I spent a year in AppleCare learning service and support deeply because it was something I was interested in knowing more about. And during that time, I learned WordPress. And after a year to the day, left Apple and started working in my first WordPress job. So it's kind of fun how you can take that time off and retool and rethink and relearn and kind of step into a new place. And if I hadn't taken that time, I probably would have continued trying to stay on the path that I was. And I would have ended up where a lot of Flash developers have ended up. I'd be a JavaScript developer building, you know, React apps, something like that, and happier where I'm at. Right? Because React may be very functional now and JavaScript may be very functional now, but it took 10 years to get here where, you know, things were kind of at parity with what we were doing back then. But yeah, it's interesting how the journey just kind of ebbs and flows and it weaves its way through these, you know, landmarks along the way. Speaking of landmarks, Bob is done with his abacus in the background. And we have some counts here. So evidently I've hosted 40 shows. Mendel, you did 25. And Carl is at 23.
Oh, wow.
And Mendel, you are in the Do the Woo Host Hall of Fame. I don't know if that comes with a trophy or a plaque or any of that, but you are definitely in the Hall of Fame. So
nice.
Everybody, we have someone famous here with us today.
Very cool.
Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org.
So for how does it work for your consultancy? Are you like a lifestyle career coach now? Like, you know, is that because I'm thinking about like your story and then you're like, yeah, I'm going to consult about like how, where you should go now. And
you need to camp more.
Yeah, that's right. That would be my prescription if I were a doc. Actually, it's funny. One of the things I tried out when I was in college, I realized that just wasn't for me at first. Right. But one of the things I tried out was a psych major. Moving from comp sci to psych. And I actually considered that as my next career move. But, you know, going back to school and getting a degree and starting a local consultancy or a local psychology practice. But
I'm super into that right now. It's so weird. Like, I'm like super into like with my therapist, we're always like talking. Like, it's like I'm just really like special interest. So, right. So it's just like I'm really into like neurodivergence, like different types of neurodivergence and how they impact your life and all that. Like, it's weird. It's just super fascinating to me.
I mean, it's not weird. It's fascinating to look at, like,
I don't mean it in a negative way. Right? Sorry. Yeah. I don't mean it weird as in a negative. I just mean it's like strange, right? Like, it's just like, it's interesting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. You're right. Like, it's weird. Sometimes
I'm very about words too. Like that's like my autistic side, but it's like sometimes I like using weird, just not as a negative thing, just as in yeah. it's strange, right? Yeah. Like it's just like, it's so interesting. Like it's weird and interesting.
Go ahead, Zach.
No, it's okay. I think that the interesting thing about psychology in general is that we all should know something about the psychology of people, right? Yeah. Especially as we are, if you're an agency owner or if you are serving the public in some way, or if you are helping, you know, as a consultant to help other people grow. Understanding the psychology behind why they make the decisions they do and how they come to the decisions they do, it's a game changer for being able to help people in that way. So, you know, I think that every consultant in some way is doing some psychology work because we have to take the needs of a person or an organization, distill them down into a set of actionable tasks that improve the person or organization. It's the same thing that counseling or therapy, whatever you want to call it, then waste, you know, based on whether or not you're East or West Coast. I went to a talk yesterday, last evening. Jamie from To Write Love on Her Arms was speaking about how, depending on what coast in the United States you're on, West Coast or East Coast, that determines whether or not you say therapy or counseling. I found that kind of interesting. So, but yeah, it's all kind of the same skill set, right? That we utilize in order to help our customers grow, help our clients grow, help, you know, consult in these areas where, because the people who come to us, even in my position, the agency owners that come to me and are looking for a partner from a hosting perspective, they're looking for somebody who can help them solve a problem, right? And so you have to understand the psychology behind that in order to be able to help. It's just a cool kind of combination of those things.
Yeah, it's funny. I met a friend this week and he has his name's Brian, but he's working on a book right now on self-awareness for freelancers, and because he's just fascinated. But the title, I think the tentative title is like, "You Might Be the Problem." Basically, but it's really funny because, yeah, I think self-awareness and stuff, that's why I brought it up for Mendel, I think is a huge skill set. And just like all these, I think just like psychology in general, right? I've been pitching a neurodivergent talk for work camps, like for like,
oh yeah,
at least a year and a half, right? They haven't picked it up yet, but like working with my therapist and stuff to get something. Because I talk a lot about it and I just think it's fascinating and it's a good talk topic.
Yeah, well, the word that the two of you have used is skill, right? And I think it's important for people to realize that this, it's a skill, right? But it's a skill on its most basic level of listening, active listening, right? And analyzing and then being helpful. I think that, you know, you don't have to be a psychology expert to be useful and to be helpful in this realm. You can apply these, you know, I kind of consider it like, you know, starting to be a more participatory human, right? Looking outside of yourself and like really considering, I don't know how many salespeople I've talked to that they tell me about the benefits of their product, which is cool. That's fine. But I don't really care so much about the benefits of their product. I care how it's going to help me. Right.
Yep.
And so if they approach me in a different way and they're like, "Hey, listen, like I know you're struggling with X," or I've seen a lot of people in your industry or in your personal situation having a hard time with Y. And I think I could probably help. Would you be open to having a conversation? It feels different. And I think the reason why people don't go there is because the sale takes longer. But I'm a firm believer that when the sale takes longer, you're creating a relationship that will ultimately net you more in the long run, right? Both from a relationship perspective, a revenue perspective, an evangelism perspective, right? That person's going to go, you know, whoever you're talking to is then going to go recommend your services with a good long-term relationship. So I think that is kind of a key thing, right? Is just looking for people.
Yeah, that's definitely how I try to approach it. I mean, I feel like that's just, it makes more sense with my personality. Like also, like it's just as well, like it's just taking your time and building a connection first. I think Zach's also a lot the same way. Like it's a lot about building the connection. And I talked a bit about it at CloudFest too. Like it's having the relationship in place for when that moment comes where you want to work together, like the bond is there, right? Like sometimes like they want to buy, but they can't. But that doesn't mean that they don't want to buy in the future either, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that I, you know, going back to resilience, going back to hustle and things like that, and you know, even persistence, is I'm noticing that a lot in this current climate, right? I'll send a proposal and somebody will say, well, you know, this is cool. And actually, I love your proposal. I love what you're outlining. It's not the right time, but it will be the right time in, you know, a month, or it will be the right time in 6 months. And so, you know, that isn't a bad thing. That's validating, right? That's telling you, hey, what you've analyzed and now what you're offering is actually a really great fit. It just needs to be the right time, because it may be the right time for your balance sheet, but it's not the right time for theirs, right? So as I'm, by the way, to the original question, I think, Carl, you asked, as I'm working through my product management consulting, right? Not life coaching. That was pretty fun too.
I was just like, the way you pitched it, I would see people and the one that succeed are reinventing themselves in a completely different direction. Yeah. I'm like, you sound like you want to life coach people. Like this just fits, like, you know.
Well, I'll get to why I brought that up in a second, but no, the consulting that I'm doing is around that product journey, right? So ideation, discovery, prototyping, you know, accelerating launches, making go-to-market more effective, forecasting and building out roadmaps and things like that, right? Any of that stuff I'm quite experienced in. And so, you know, on my website, I go through it all. But the reason I brought up all of that kind of aspirational stuff is because the industry, like the tech industry in general, is going through a change. Everybody hears that, right? That there's this huge change happening. And yeah, it would be cool if somebody checks out what I'm doing. But I think that, like, what I'm here to say is that a lot of people are going through their journey, not by choice, in the same way that you, Carl, and you, Zach, and I went through this kind of circuitous route to get to a reinvention. And I think a lot of people are putting that off right now because they're assuming that there's a recovery coming. They're assuming that things are going to go back to the way that they were. And I think, like, the one thing I want to tell folks is that I don't think that we're going back to the way we were, because progress is always forward and progress is always new, right? And so if you're finding yourself banging your head against the wall for 12 months, 16 months, heck, even 3 months, right? Because something doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. And so, you know, try and use your inner resilience, right? And try and introspect a little bit to see what else you offer the world, because there's a lot that every individual offers the world and can bring that as something valuable to offer that is beyond where you are now, where you're banging your head against the wall, right? So I guess that's, you know, what I care a lot about is people and people in this industry, and taking the example of the three of us on this call and many more that you'll see if you start looking that are reinventing themselves. I think that's important.
Yeah. I mean, that was part of me talking to Bob and switching to this type of podcast.
Yeah.
It was like reinvention, right? Because I was just like, I like programmers, I like people, but I want to have adjacent, like programming adjacent talks, basically.
Yep.
Like I feel like I'm better at this. Like I feel like it fits, it's more interesting to me. There's like more opportunities to just find not just guests, but just having interesting conversations than just specifically. We were doing WooDev podcast, so we were talking about WooCommerce development, which is great. I love it, but there's so much to life, you know. I think your story highlights that, like all our stories, And I think rethinking that is really important. Like, and I talk a lot about putting good into the world too right now. So like I started live streaming, you know, and that was like for that reason. Like, I don't know how to, it's funny because you're talking about product and I don't know how to grow my product, but I love my product. And I'm like, oh, well, I read this post that was like, your product is your garden, basically. Like you like, and I called my stream like puttering, like basically. So I'm just like solving bugs and talking about it and just trying to do stuff that feels positive to me, I think is really important. I think for anyone right now is to think about what you can do to bring good into the world. Yeah. Like, what are you good at and what can you do to like put some good out?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's spot on. And I think a lot of people are probably in your shoes, Carl, that, you know, they have a product they're building and they're going at it kind of in a way that is logical in their mind, right? To push it forward. And when you see something, you fix it. And when you see the next thing, you fix it. And what next step from there, I think, is, you know, putting some systems in place to make things repeatable and to grow more consistently, right? And those are things that they're for some and not for others, right? Some people don't want to have that sort of rigor around their business. Maybe it's a lifestyle business or something like that. So I think it's cool, you know, how you're approaching until you don't think it's cool and then it's not cool anymore, right?
Well, and the other cool thing about what we've been able to do here with, you know, changing things up to expanding the stack here on the podcast is that we get to talk about other nerdy things that we enjoy, and especially around technologies that are WordPress adjacent. So we can start to bring in conversations about things like Laravel or front-end technologies that we wouldn't have been able to talk about before at the same level. Things that are in the ecosystem, but not necessarily just WordPress focused as well, which is really cool. So I'm looking forward to where this all brings us. And Carl, I know you're excited to keep learning and finding new things to dive deep on. Yeah, because we're very similar in that regard, I think, and we like to do that. You know, and honestly, Mendel, you've provided a lot of value over the years to the people who've been associated with you, and now you're doing that in a consulting manner again. So if we have product owners or product people who are listening to this and you are interested in talking to Mendel about what it is that you're building, I can guarantee Mendel would love to talk to you. Mendel, how do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, it's real easy. Just head over to northstarproductconsulting.com. And at the bottom of that page, you'll see a calendar booking widget. And you can just grab a time. It's free for an initial conversation. Some folks, I end up having free initial conversations multiple times to be helpful because they're, you know, not quite there yet, but, you know, want to be in a place where they can use the services. But I'd love to chat with anybody. And by the way, if you're going through a rough time with your career and you just want to chat about that, no, I'm not offering services for that. I'm
going to take you up on it anyways. I'm booking a call. We can do like mental life coaching. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm just happy to help out. I know there's a lot of people that are reinventing themselves right now. So yeah, northstarproductconsulting.com.
Awesome. Well, I know we're kind of at the hour here and need to start to wrap things up a little bit. But Carl, do you have any last final questions here for Mendel?
Where do you see yourself Okay, this is too big, but I'm like, I keep thinking Mendel's like the person I know that's like reinvented themselves so many times. I'm like, where do you see your next butterfly phase to be after this? Like, where do you see yourself trending towards? Like, I like the term North Star. I use that even internally. Like, I always think about like my ethical, moral North Star, about like how I make decisions. When I say yes, when I say no a lot. Yeah, where do you see, like, where's your North Star guiding you, you feel?
A lot of people are going towards taking the human element out, replacing humans with AI, changing how they approach their product to be repeatable with as few people as possible. I, on the other hand, see myself and my being high touch and helping people directly, maybe to accomplish some of those things, right? The scalability, automation, et cetera, but to really create something where I have a group of people, including myself, that are helping other people in a high touch and boutique sort of way. So that's kind of where I hope I'm building my next big thing, is that high touch piece. Does that answer it, Carl?
I mean, it's great. There was no right or wrong answer. Yeah. I just think about that. I think you're the type of person that I can ask this question and they've actually thought about it. Sometimes like people, you talked a lot about it. Like we kind of automate and we're not like, we're on the rails, right? I use the term rails because it's like a train, right? Like it's fixed. Not really thinking about where you're going or why you're going that direction. And so it was more of a like, where you see, I agree with the high touch personal stuff. Yeah. I see it hearing stories about hiring and stuff like that. I think AI, ironically, is going to make hiring even more personal than it ever has. Like, it's going to be even more about who you know and like how you know the people and their soft skills, hard skills, because, when you can simulate your face and all these crazy stories and all the code, like, it'll be much more important to know who that person is.
But it's just one quick caveat, and that is some things are meant to be high touch and some things are meant to be low touch, right?
Yeah, exactly.
When you're slapping your card onto a turnstile to get on a train, right? You don't want that to be high touch. You want that to be low touch, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Just do that, move on, right? Same with purchasing something in a purchasing flow should not be high touch. That should be low touch.
Customer service, on the
other hand, I see as something that is better as a high touch. And people argue with me, but
I think it's true. Like, I think you've seen people backtrack away from the low touch stuff for customer service. So it's, I think, but that's what it is. Right now, everybody's trying to make everything low touch. And then I think it's exacerbating. I think it's kind of like forcing people to realize that some stuff needs to be even higher touch now than it was before.
For the problem you're trying to solve, right?
I used to teach in a building in Chicago called the Fine Arts Building. And speaking of high touch, it was a very weird experience because you'd walk into the building and it's one of the few buildings left in Chicago where all of the elevators had elevator operators. So you couldn't go anywhere up or down in that building without somebody else pulling a lever to put you there, right? And so you talk about high touch, like that's an area where I want the low touch interaction. I want to push a button, get in an elevator, push another button, and end up on my floor.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that even in that interaction, when I had been going there to teach for quite a while, I started to get to know the elevator operators and they started to get to know me. And it got to a point where that high touch relationship, I stepped into the elevator. We didn't have to talk about where I was. So instead we checked in on each other. How have you been? How's life? How are the kids? And that four floor, trip at the highest speed he could get the elevator to go because he liked scaring people was just kind of a check-in instead of being, a direction oriented interaction. I didn't have to explain where I needed to be anymore because he already knew where I needed to be. So that's kind of it's interesting. We're so used to that being a low touch interaction now because we're used to just having the automated system. You go and you hit the elevator button to the floor you want to go to.
But then interestingly, that elevated your experience, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It became interesting because it was high touch. Then it became low touch. Then it became high touch again. But with you had a value added experience because of that, right? So that's an interesting one that it transitioned a couple times, right?
Yeah. And it was always very interesting because there were three or four different elevator operators that worked there. So, and they all had their own stories and, I talked to everybody. I mean, you both know that. I think everybody
I talk to everyone. Zach talks to everyone. Mendel talks to everyone. Yeah. We're just this is just the group of people where we are.
Yeah. And so I got to know all of the elevator operators in the building over time. And it's just interesting how something that you expect to be low touch actually was improved by high touch.
Yeah.
So just thought that was a neat aside. Well, we need to, I think we need to wrap up here, but
never ask me to do another question, Zach.
I did that intentionally.
Okay.
I want to hear where it goes. You know, it's a sign of a good interviewer. I learned years ago when I was interviewing musicians is when you sit back, you ask a question, then you sit back, you shut up and you let the person talk long enough. And then when they're done talking, you don't interject immediately. You just let there be a little pause and then they'll start talking again and go deeper into the subject you've been talking about. And it's just, I like asking you if you have a last question because sometimes it exposes something we never would have gotten to. So that's why I do it.
It's great. I just think of poor Bob who's like, oh God, like, oh God, you know, like
it's 11:11 now. Well, not for Bob. It's late for Bob.
It's late for Bob.
But we appreciate you coming on and joining us, Mendel. All of you listening, if you are doing something interesting that is WordPress adjacent, something with adjacent technologies, like I mentioned before, or if you know, want to talk about some of these subjects like we were talking about today, please, you know, bug Bob. That's hashtag bug Bob. On all of the social
try to catch media. Me at a work camp. Like, I know it's hard, but like, just like, try to like grab my hand and be like, Carl, I want to be on the podcast.
Yeah, we would love to talk to you and put you in the hot seat, just like Mendel just was. And Mendel, again, thank you for joining us, and we will talk soon. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, y'all. It was great
thanks.
To talk.
Thanks, everyone.
That's a wrap, and a shout out to our sponsor, OmniZen. Just head to omnizen.com to learn more and see how they're supporting developers like you. Until the next time, keep on building and keep on experimenting. Take care.